So today, last night was the full moon. The exact time was about 12:13 a.m. ish, Eastern Standard Time. But you know, it was 12:23 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But you know, we can feel it coming in and we can feel it going out. It's actually active for 3 days. And this moon sort of constellates what's been happening all month. Because for those of you who are here, I have set the chart on the floor of what's happening. And for those of you who are not, the Sun and Jupiter and Mercury are all in Libra. And the moon is in Aries. Whenever there's a full moon, it is in opposition to the sun. And what else is really nice when there's a full moon is just as the sun is setting, if you happen to be near the horizon line or can see the horizon, as the sun is setting, the moon is rising. So if you're watching that, you can start to feel the energy of what an opposition is. If you just close your, you know, open your eyes, actually it's kind of cool to see, and just feel it. There's a relationship between the sun and the moon that's beyond an intellectual explanation that can be felt if you actually are with it. But, so the moon is in Aries, and it is conjunct Uranus. So the moon is transmitting Uranian energies. And I swear I will speak English in a moment. I'm just going to set it up. And then I'll talk in English. And they're squaring Pluto and Mars are both in Capricorn. So this has been going on for a few weeks where this energy has been constellated by the Sun and Jupiter and, you know, there was Venus. She shifted in from Libra into Scorpio. But all these planets have been having conversations. And what that's been feeling like, as you know, is it's been very chaotic. It's been very transformative, but it doesn't feel still. It feels like a tremendous amount of movement. And a lot of the big story, that's the external story of our lives, and really the lives of everyone on the planet, is this election and all the crazy stuff that's happening continually. And all of the fear that is bringing up in people around the world, and all of the misogyny and the hate and you know, coming up and people's reaction to it. And there are other things happening in the world that do not get put on the news. Many things that are happening in people's communities, good things. I was just visiting my son in Boulder, and he had organized this Repairing the Village conference. And these people came from Portland, who have been really for decades transforming Portland into a village. And one of the things that they said was that a couple thousand years ago when the Romans conquered everyone, they took villages which really had a circular energy to them, and they transformed it into roads going back and forth into squares, and it created separation. It created the consciousness of separation. And so what they're doing in Portland is they're repairing through sacred geometry. Wow. And they're actually creating, and they're doing this with the mayor and the town council. And they're creating mandalas in four-way traffic places. And they're ripping up the sidewalks, and they're creating gardens and herb gardens, and they're having random acts of composting in people's yards so that people will wake up in the middle of the night and they'll compost their neighbor's yard and then, or plant flowers, or they have tea houses on people's, on corners that are made out of recycled materials that they're doing the gift economy around, so someone's always putting tea and water. And this is happening en masse. It's not just happening in one neighborhood. They're transforming the city. And Daniel had invited them, and he was partnered with other groups around Denver, because Denver and Boulder want to become like Portland. But it's not just Denver and Portland. This is a global movement, because I was lucky enough to be in Boulder for other reasons. I was doing readings and teaching, and I didn't really realize that this is what was happening this weekend, so I got to sit in on these presentations. And my mind was blown about their level of working with sacred geometry and solstices and equinoxes and making places so you can see it in the city. And they built this tea house out of recycled materials that was probably the size of this house without permits. And they have like a sacred feminine and a sacred masculine room, and nothing's ever for sale. People just bring baked goods and teas, and it's this hangout space. And there's a tree growing in the center of it, and it's a ramshackle of a place, and it'll dissolve at some point because it's not really built to last. But it's just amazing. And this is one of the movements that's growing around globally, is repairing the village. And I just want you to know, those people who live in Chapel Hill, I have a text in to my son. We'll see if he ever texts back. That I want the name of this guy and this woman who were there presenting, because I want to invite them to Chapel Hill and Durham. Because why not us? And the Pickers Mountain Eco Institute is very interested in doing that this spring. So stay tuned, and if anyone wants to help me network with communities and neighborhoods and churches and like all kinds of people, not just the hippie groovy people, but what they said, which really affected me, was village life is in our DNA. And so when you start to repair it, everyone wants to do it, and everyone's willing. It's such a willingness because it's who we are as human beings. It's bringing us back to who we are. So why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because today Uranus is conjunct the moon. And Uranus is about bringing in these new ideas, these new ways of doing things. And actually, these are old ideas and old ways of doing things. But it's new in our culture. It's bringing what has worked for humanity for many, many, many thousands of years that has recently been destroyed over the past 2,000 years. It's a recent. And many, you know, what's happening at Standing Rock. Uranus is about revolution, change, new ideas, connections to spirit. What we were doing here, we were meditating, and we were dissolving into our light bodies and merging our light bodies and raising our vibration. And I have shared with you that this actually affects people's health. It affects water. It repairs the earth in a very tangible way we can measure. That's very Uranian. That's very radical revolutionary change, bringing us where we need to go into the future. So this is being really activated today. But it's been really activated for the past couple of years. But this moon is really constellating it. So there's an empowerment of social movements and change that's been going on since 2012. What's happening with this moon is the Pluto-Uranus square that was very active from 2012 to 2015 and still really active. It's all about new ways of doing things and change, and sort of raising our vibration collectively as humanity and raising our frequency together. And at the same time, Pluto is in Capricorn having this conversation with Uranus, bringing up the shadow of everything that isn't working in the structures of our communities, our schools, our governments, you know, the masculine, the feminine, you know, how we are, you know, in harmony with one another. And certainly patriarchal shadow is being expressed through our friend the Donald. You know, he's constellating it. And, you know, in a really profound way. And the feminine, for many reasons, is rising energetically. And the feminine within men and the feminine within women, and our internalized patriarchal masculine within ourselves is coming up to be cleared within ourselves and certainly in the culture. And there's this huge clash of the old structures and the new structures, because the new structures are getting stronger. This new consciousness is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and has since 2012, and there's no denying it. People have changed. And we're going to continue to change as the days and the weeks and the years move on. And the emperor that has no clothes is becoming more and more apparent. And so the old structures are literally unraveling and falling apart, and our emotions around that come up. But at the same time, these new ways of doing things that work so well are just coming in and coming in and coming in more and more visible ways, so that we can actually get involved with things that are inspiring for us and not just grieve all of the things that aren't working and all of the shadow that's being expressed. So that's a lot of what this energy is constellating. And those of you who've heard me talk before, I'm not saying anything that I haven't said before. It's just that this moon, this beautiful harvest moon, that's also a supermoon, and a supermoon is a moon that hangs much lower in the sky and is bigger. And so it's even more amplifying these energies. And these energies have been amplified throughout the month of October, and they're going to continue to be amplified even when the moon is no longer in Aries, conjunct Uranus, because we have Mars is conjunct Pluto this month. We have the Sun and Mercury and Jupiter squaring. We have Mars. This whole triangle on the floor here, this whole energy, if you're not here, that I'm talking about is being activated and enlivened all month. It's been activated and enlivened, as I said, for several years, but there are certain hot spots. And this is a hot spot for this. Now, what it can feel like is if you're very conscious and you're meditating and you're walking in the woods and you're playing music, you know, it can feel really amazing. It can feel like you're being dismembered, meaning that the old structures of your own personal consciousness are very easily, it's like, you know, like a sticky top of a jar that can't come off very easily that you really wish would come off. It can come off very easily in this. And whatever's inside is revealed. So if you're very conscious and allowing, you know, what needs to die in you, what needs to be released, you know, the old structures of self-judgment, of self-hatred, of internalized oppression, of fear and mistrust of spirit, like, how are we in this situation? How can you cannot be saving us from this? How can you be real? All of those old voices, we can let them go much more easily in a time like this, and we can embrace something, a much higher frequency that knows that something is happening that's much bigger than this, than, you know, the unraveling of the old structures are the unraveling of everything we really don't want anymore. And also, this is a time, again, of bringing in this incredibly high-frequency aspect, our I am part of ourselves, our soul forces are wanting to embrace us, wanting to live us, live through us, and these energies are assisting that. Now, if you're speeding around in your life over the next week or so, it's very easy to get triggered by each other or by yourself. And it's also very easy to feel like your nervous system is going haywire. And so it's really important to really slow things down and be in nature and take your Epsom salt baths and drink your bone broth. And if you're a vegetarian, drink your root vegetable broth and make time to be quiet and allow your own unraveling to occur and release that which no longer serves you. Be aware of it. Identify the beliefs, the feelings, the thoughts, the ways you've set your life up that just don't work anymore. Do a little ceremony. You know, write it down and burn it because it's burning anyway. You know, it's like the things that we want to hold on to, we can't hold on to them. Some of them are subtle and some of them are really big, personally, but also collectively. And, you know, I would say try really hard not to get into arguments with people because they're just going to escalate really, really fast at this end. It's like a really, really, really fast-moving river with really big waves. And if you're in your kayak, it can be really fun if you navigate this. But if you're holding on to the shore, if you're trying to hold on to the shore, forget it. You can't. It's just moving way too fast. And so it's important to know that. And it's actually like the day after the election, some of this starts to calm down, although not completely. You know, and try not to listen to the news that much because it's like broadcasting really yucky stuff. You know, try and if you really want to know what's going on, maybe just read something briefly. And keep asking yourself, what do I want to manifest? And what do I need to let go of in order to do that? And how can I balance myself? How can I balance myself? And, you know, this is a time of coming together and of creating community. Jupiter is in Libra. Libra is about creating balance, creating harmony, creating people connections, creating circles, about friendship and love and communication. And there's such a strong desire for that right now. And so it's also a time of action, particularly this moon in Aries. Aries is about action. It's about, okay, we've been grieving for years, and it's okay to still grieve because we grieve until we're done. But when you feel ready, it's time to take action, to make changes that are starting to connect with the frequencies that are coming in more and more alive in us, and to create new forms and new paradigms and new ways of doing things. And that's what the Aries moon is about. And Pluto is just going to keep dismantling. You know, Pluto's in Capricorn, and it's going to be there till 2023. And whenever there's another planet, if there's a moon that's in Capricorn or Aries or Cancer or Libra, which happens about once a week, it's going to activate this. So it's constant. It's just that this is such a, it's a full moon, and it's a super moon, and there are many planets in this triangle. It's the Sun, it's Mercury, it's Jupiter, and it's Pluto, and it's Mars, and it's the Moon, and it's Uranus, all bringing what I'm talking about into our consciousness. So, and then we have the new moon in Scorpio on the 30th, which is a day to be aware of in terms of, you know, Scorpio is about really potent transformation, diving really, really deep. And a lot of emotions come up. So let your emotions come up. You know, put some music on and dance them. Drum them. Paint them. Sing them. You know, scream them. Do what you need to do. And then let them move into the next higher octave of their expression. And the next higher octave of our expression, when we really strip ourselves, is love. So Scorpio is also about that too, the yummy, juicy, alive nectar of our beings. So, do you have any questions? Nope. Okay, over and out.